Let us pray. Our most eternal and everlasting Father, we are thankful this evening. Thankful for your mercy and your kindness. Thankful for giving us this privilege to gather together to study a portion of your word. We realize that the human mind is incapable of understanding anything that is spiritual apart from the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. So it's our request that the Holy Spirit will enable us to hear precisely what you have for us this evening. This is our request in Christ's name. Amen. Exodus chapter 6, verse 28 through chapter 7, verse 7. He reads, "Now when the Lord spoke to Moses in Egypt, he said to him, 'I am the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, everything I tell you.' But Moses said to the Lord, 'Since I speak with faltering lips, why will Pharaoh listen to me?' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my miraculous signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt, and with mighty acts of judgment, I will bring out my divisions, my people, the Israelites. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it.' Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh." Now it seems that the chapter divisions in our English Bible affect how scholars view this section of Exodus. Now since the preceding section is concerned with genealogical record of the family line of Moses and Aaron, some take the last three verses of the sixth chapter of Exodus as part of the genealogical record given in Exodus chapter 6, verses 14 through 27. Now, a handful consider verses 28 through 30 as an independent section from what preceded it and what follows, that is, Exodus chapter 7. Verses 1 through 7. However, most scholars consider Exodus chapter 6, verses 28 through 30 as part of Exodus chapter 7, verses 1 through 7, informing a unit that is concerned with a specific theme. Now, the themes scholars identify vary. Some take the focus as being concerned with Aaron being appointed Moses' spokesman. Now some take it to be concerned with Moses and Aaron's obedience to God's commands, or simply God's command to them. Now each of these themes is conveyed in the section so that it seems to be a matter of preference of what a scholar considers to be the major focus of the unit. Now to me, the major focus of the section is a communication of the Lord to Moses in Egypt, as that is how the section is introduced in the Hebrew text, since literally verse 28 in Hebrew reads this way: "And it was on a day of Lord, speaking to Moses in the land of Egypt." This is what I read. "And it was on a day of the Lord speaking to Moses in the land of Egypt." So it seems that Moses wanted to focus on other communication of the Lord to him while in Egypt that concerns his commission regarding the freeing of the Israelites from Egypt. Now it is for this reason we contend that the section is concerned primarily with a communication of the law to Moses while in Egypt. Now, our concern, of course, of this section is twofold. The first is to understand the personal message the Lord intended to convey to Moses regarding his communication that he should deliver to Pharaoh. The second is to derive from the message to Moses the message that is applicable to us as believers who study the communication of the Lord to Moses. Hence, we will first establish the Lord's message to Moses and then determine the message for us. Now, this section, as it stands, begins with God's command to Moses, instructing him to deliver in full God's commission to Pharaoh through him. However, Moses repeated his excuse of being a poor public speaker that he gave to the Lord when he first appeared to him while in Mount Horeb. Now this time, the Lord, in responding to Moses' excuse, did not go into asserting of the fact that he controls every person's tongue, so that it is no problem that he is a poor public speaker, as was his excuse. Now you see, the Lord I control everything. So that I think many times we believers seem to forget. Everything that comes out of your mouth is controlled by the Lord. For whatever reason, it will come out. So the Lord didn't even go to that here. He didn't even touch it. So instead, the Lord conveyed to him of the appointment of his brother Aaron as his spokesman. Now this was followed by the Lord's declaration of the actions he would take to harden Pharaoh's heart so he could punish the Egyptians and release Israel from Egypt in such a way that the Egyptians would know for fact that their punishment and the freeing of the Israelites from their country are the work of God of Israel that Moses introduced to Pharaoh as Lord or Yahweh. Now God's communication to Moses concerning his action regarding Pharaoh and the Egyptians is intended to convey to Moses that there is no reason to doubt the authenticity of his word that he was to deliver to Pharaoh. Hence, we can say then that the message the Lord wanted to convey to Moses in this specific communication is that he should carry out the Lord's command because of his promised actions towards Pharaoh and the Egyptians that will result in the freeing of the Israelites from Egypt. Now, God's purpose or plan is that Israel should be released from bondage. That's his purpose. Now, this personal message then to Moses enables us to derive the personal message the Lord wanted to convey to us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The message, a simple one, and it is this: you should obey God's instruction because he will do whatever is necessary to ensure his word accomplishes its purpose. Again, you should obey God's instruction because he will do whatever is necessary to ensure his word accomplishes its purpose. Now, the message in effect means that God will always authenticate his word. He will stand behind it 100%. Now, we will expand on this message by focusing on three responsibilities of believers that are then derived from this passage and the message. Now, your first responsibility regarding the message of this passage is that you should give no excuses for not carrying out the Lord's instruction. You should give no excuses for not carrying out God's instruction. Now, this responsibility begins at the very moment you hear the word of God taught to you. We should remember that we are doing is really applying the passage to us, and so we stated it the way we did, since in the text that we're considering, it is the Lord who spoke to Moses, as in the clause of Exodus 6, verse 28. Look at verse 28 again. It says, "Now, when the Lord spoke to Moses in Egypt." Now, as we have indicated previously, the literal Hebrew reads this way, "And it was on a day of the Lord speaking to Moses in the land of Egypt." Now, the Hebrew construction indicates that the focus of the verse is on the time of the communication of the Lord to Moses. That is the reason the NIV and majority of our English versions render literal Hebrew in the way they did. Now, the sentence indicates that the communication of the Lord introduced in Exodus 6 verse 13, but interrupted by the genealogical record of Exodus 6 verses 14 through 27, is now resumed with more detail provided. However, the verse is also intended to emphasize two factors involving the communication of the Word of God. A first factor is that of timing. Timing, when it comes to communication of God's Word. There was a specific time of God's communication to Moses, as it is for us today. Now, usually, the specific time of communication of the Word of God for all believers is usually the time set by a local church for such an activity. Hence, it is important that a believer should endeavor to present himself or herself at the specified time in order to receive God's communication through a human teacher, usually a pastor. Now, it is at that time of communication of the word that we should endeavor not to give excuses for not complying with God's word. Now, a second factor is, of course, the location of the communication of the word of God. Now, for Moses, the Lord's communication at this specific time, that is similar to the communication of the Lord to him when he appeared to him at Mount Horeb, this time occurred in Egypt. Because there is conscious effort to remind us that the communication occurred not at Mount Horeb, but in Egypt, we then should recognize that God's word is often communicated to us in a specific location. Today, as we have implied, the word of God is quite often communicated to believers in a local church where they meet to worship the Lord. Thus, again, it is whenever we hear the word of God taught to us in such location that this false responsibility of not giving excuses for not carrying out what we are taught begins. Now, there is a requirement we need to meet before we meet the responsibility of having no excuses for not carrying out God's instruction. This requirement is being assured or convinced that God is the one who communicates to us through a human agent. You must meet that threshold. You must believe, you must have the conviction that God is communicating to you through a human agent. In effect, we should look past the human agent to the God whose word we hear taught. So we are saying that we should have the assurance that God is the one behind the scripture. We should be convinced that he is the one that gave his word in written form in the scripture. For unless we believe this fact, then we cannot be serious about God's word. See, unless you believe that, then, see, think about it. If you actually have this respect for God, and you believe that it's his word, then why will you not focus on it? Now, can you imagine if, you know, some try to say, well, if I was in the day Christ was, I would walk with him everywhere he went. I said, no, the way what you're doing today is exactly what you have done if you lived in there. Now, here is the thing. If you have this consciousness and respect for God and his word, then it will seem to me that you will want to pay attention to everything he says to you. Now, of course, I know that, we live in a time where believers don't even bother, they don't care. And you go to some of these churches and you see their pastor is teaching and they are talking within themselves and so on. But this is because they don't believe a word of what the pastor is saying. Now, they can pretend, but they don't. Because if you believe that is the word of God being spoken to you, you should have your ears popped up. You want to hear everything. So you don't miss a thing. Because it is the God of heaven speaking through the human agent. So it is when we believe then that our scripture is God's word that we will tremble as we hear the teaching of his word. If you hear the word of God and you don't tremble, my fellow believer, it's not impacting you. The word of God should cause all of us to tremble. So we insist then that before we can carry out our responsibility delineated in the word of God that we hear taught, we should have the assurance that God is the one whose word is recorded for us in the scripture. Now we say this because when God communicated to Moses, as reported in the passage that we're considering, he assured Moses that the message he wanted him to deliver is from him. It is this assurance that is given in the first sentence of Exodus 6 verse 29. 6 verse 29 where we're studying says, he said to him, I am the Lord. Now it is possible for an evil spirit to communicate to a prophet to deceive that individual. But no evil spirit will pose as the God of the universe. Since demons believe that he exists and tremble because of him. Now this being the case, it will be impossible for Satan or any evil spirit to assume to be God. That's not going to happen. Hence then, to assure Moses that the communication he received was from the true God of the universe, the Lord indeed identified with the same name he revealed himself to him. So we read, I am the Lord. I am Yahweh. Now the reason this is important is you hear a lot of voices. You need to know who is talking, who is communicating these voices that you hear. In our mind, things keep popping up. You need to know who is talking. Because if it's the God of the universe, then you better do whatever it is that's in your mind. But if it's not, then you resist it. But in this case, the Lord wants Moses to know, I am God, I'm speaking. Thus, Moses should not entertain any doubt as the one who was sending him to Pharaoh at the point of the event in our passage. It is because Moses received the assurance of the Lord who sent him that we insist then that every believer should have the assurance that when the word of God is taught, that it is the God of the universe that is behind the scripture. Now, failure to do this leads to an individual to a position of wanting, of really not wanting to carry out God's instruction. For it is difficult to conceive that a believer will recognize God's instruction, or that God instructs him or her to act or not to act in a certain way, and yet not do anything. See, when we hear the word of God that requires action on our part, they do not act. The simple explanation is that we did not believe that instruction is God's word. Because how can you hear what God says and don't act? That means you don't believe a word of it. Because once you believe what God says, you begin to act. Because you know you are dealing with one who holds everything in his hand, including your very existence on this planet and beyond. So there's no way for him to speak, and you know that's what he said, and then you start dilly-dallying. In other words, you play around and not do what he says. Now, a believer who, in my judgment, is in his or her right mind, would not dare to reject God's word. If that individual indeed believes that the teaching is the word of God. This is one of those reasons, personally, when I explain certain things, I try to show you, if I have an opinion, I'll put opinion. I'll tell you that. But otherwise, no, I don't want my opinion, because it doesn't do what the paper is written on. But the word of God was everything. So we strive to ensure that we give you his word, the way it's given in the scripture. Now, be that as it may, it is important we know what God communicates to us through the expository teaching of the scripture. Now, in case of Moses, the content of God's communication is given to him directly by the Lord, as indicated in the last part of Exodus chapter 6, verse 29, when he said, "Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, everything I tell you." Now, this instruction to Moses of communicating to Pharaoh, everything the Lord conveyed to him, implies that Moses should understand and retain everything the Lord communicates to him to relate to Pharaoh. He should understand it, he should retain it before he goes there. Now, as believers, we have the responsibility of ensuring that we understand and retain instructions from the word of God if we are to carry it out. Now, there's no doubt the Lord aided Moses in such a way that he remembered and retained the words of the Lord that he was to pass on to Pharaoh. Now, for one thing, the Lord kept repeating the same message to Moses that is to be related to Pharaoh, as well as to aid him to remember the Lord's message to him. Now, God does the same for us today. However, as the Lord repeated his message to Moses, since it was not written down, we must repeatedly hear the instruction of the word of God if we are to retain it. Now, I cannot emphasize this enough, and I don't make apologies for doing that. Now, this, of course, implies that we emphasize, or what we emphasize from this pulpit, which is that it is not enough to hear the teaching of the word of God once when assembled with other believers, but that every believer should go home and reflect on the message. My conviction many times when I interact with some is that they don't spend enough of time in the Word the way they should. And so, yes, you're here Wednesdays. You're here Sunday. But you're not spending enough time in the Word. So it is not like a commercial, an advertisement you see on TV once and it sticks. Because it's useless. It's getting to go buy something. That's all. That's why it's sticking in your head. But the Word of God doesn't function that way. Why? Because we have an enemy. He knows that if you can retain that Word in your soul, you have a weapon he cannot surmount. Therefore, what does he do? He will fight everything to ensure you don't have it. No, no, you can come here and listen. Yeah, say, yeah, good. He's a master deceiver. So he deceives you to think, well, I'm here every Wednesday, I'm here every Sunday, I'm fine. No, my friend, you're not. You're not. There is a whole lot more to understanding the Word of God. That's why we have to come, go home, reflect. For us today, we have the privilege of taking notes. The early church, they didn't really have something to write about. But then the Lord dealt with them in a different way. But today we have the privilege of taking notes of what is taught. And we have the message in recorded form. So this means that you should go home, read over your notes, and listen again to the recorded message until you understand what the instruction you are to carry out is. Now, a believer who does this should be assured that the Holy Spirit will aid our believer to recollect the instruction in the Word of God at the appropriate time. Now, I can't tell you how it works, because I don't know. But I do know that if you do what I just told you, it will be there. Once you come to go through it, that Word, whatever it is that's taught, once you go through it several times, it is there. I don't know how the Lord stores it. But I know for one thing, when you need it, he brings it to you. But if you didn't store it, there's nothing to come bring to you. This is why it's important. Anyway, so this is why we keep emphasizing this. So the assurance that I've given you that, yes, if you do what I said exactly, not if you, you can ignore me, that's all right. It's not a personal thing. That's why I don't take it personal. But I know you are the one that's going to be losing out. If you don't fully exactly the way I've been explaining it, you're going to be the loser. Not now, but later. But even now, you may be the loser right now. Because you are living a half-cocked spiritual life. Your life as a believer is full of holes. In other words, you don't know what it means when the Bible says you will have life in abundance. That is to say, your life is without the fullness of the joy that the Lord provides, which every believer should have. And you don't get it in another way than through this Word. So the more you bury yourself in it, meditate and reflect on it, then God will use it at the right time. So this assurance that he'll bring it out is based on the Lord's promise to the disciples that we have referenced several times as applicable to us. It is the promise of the special aid of the Holy Spirit regarding recall of Christ's teaching to his disciples as recorded for us in John chapter 14 verse 26. John chapter 14 verse 26. John chapter 14 verse 26 reads, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." That's the basis for the assurance I've been given to you. Now it is true that the Lord made his promise to the disciples regarding his teaching to them. Because then, as that passage does say, everything I say to you, I say to all. Now, but this promise is applicable to believers who hear the teaching of the Word of God through their teachers. Now, those who go back and reflect or meditate and listen over the recorded message of the instruction they receive from their teachers should be assured that this promise applies to them. Now, you may say to yourself, did the early church really do this? My answer will be, to an extent, yes, they did. Now, granted, they didn't have the Bible completely written, but they met every day listening to the teaching of the apostles. Now, there's another factor, and it is this. They are not as distracted as we all are today. They don't have all these things, all these gadgets and everything distracting us. They didn't have it. Their life was just pure, simpler than what we have today. We have too many distractions. I mean, they're not involved in X, Y, Z that distract all of us. They're not involved. They were not. So they were much more focused. And so that once they hear the teaching of the apostles, through the Holy Spirit will work with them in a different way. Us today, we have too many distractions. So we have to fight tooth and nail, as they say, to overcome the distractions in our lives. And that is why, unless you bury yourself in that word, my fellow believer, you will not get ahead the way you're supposed to be as a believer. Anyway, so the thing is, those who go back and reflect or meditate and listen over the recorded message of the instruction they receive from their teacher should be assured then that this promise in John 14 verse 26 applies to them. Now, as we have stated, it is true that the promise is focused on Jesus' teaching. However, when a teacher expounds the Word of God, that person is doing what Jesus did to the disciples, so that we can be certain that he will stand behind his word as it is correctly expounded. Therefore, we should be confident that this promise then of what the Holy Spirit will do about reminding the disciples of the truth that they have received applies to every believer that receives instruction from the Word of God and goes home to meditate on it so that the individual comprehends the truth thought. Now, the Lord's instruction to Moses, as we have stated, is given in the last part of Exodus 6, verse 29 that we're looking at. It says, "Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, everything I tell you." Now, the requirement of this message is that Moses is to communicate everything the Lord said to him. Everything. Now, as we have indicated, the Lord continued to repeat the same message that Moses was to convey to Pharaoh, which is to release Israel from slavery, as we will consider later. Now, this instruction of the Lord given to Moses to relate his entire message to Pharaoh is similar, though, to the Lord's command to the church I am referring to the commission given to the church, recorded in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. Matthew Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. It is, "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Now the Church of Christ is charged with the responsibility of making disciples of all the nations. Now this begins with the preaching the gospel message. But the church does not stop there, because to be a disciple requires more than the gospel message. Gospel message brings a person to be a believer. To be a disciple comes from teaching. So this is the reason the Lord then instructed the church to teach everything he has commanded. Everything. Now, everything the Lord has commanded is given in the scripture for us today. Everything is in the scripture. Everything in the scripture, that's his word. Thus, the church must strive to teach truths conveyed in the scripture. To me, the best way the church would do this is through expository teaching of each book of the scripture. In other words, when pastors teach the word of God verse by verse in expository manner, then believers will hear every truth that the Lord has given to us in written form. The church cannot afford to be cherry picking of the kind of message it wants to deliver. No. We are to teach everything in the Word of God, no matter how painful it is to hear. Now, this is one of the things that you have to know. The truth that you hear that hurts you is the one that benefits you. That you should understand. If you hear truth and it hurts you, it will benefit you. So, the church, as I'm saying, must teach the truth, even when it is painful. And really, truly speaking, unless we all claim to be perfect, but if you like the rest of us at least, who are not perfect yet, every truth hurts. Because it's telling you something about you you don't want to hear about. That's why truth is painful, and that's why we have to teach it. So if we do this, then we will be able to say what Apostle Paul said to the believers in Ephesus through their elders, as recorded in Acts chapter 20, verse 27. Acts chapter 20, verse 27. It is, "For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God." So the point is that the Church of Christ must not be selective in the teaching of the Word of God. This, in my judgment, is part of the sloppiness that you find in Christianity today, the shallowness that you find today, and the have devotion that you find today in our local churches because the pastors are not teaching the full room of truth. Because if believers know the full room of truth, then now they have to contend with, now that you know it, what are you doing with it? And so if all the local churches do the same thing, I believe that we believers will actually shake wherever we live. If all the believers who go to various local churches hear every truth taught without trying to camouflage some or the other. So we must teach everything recorded in the scripture for the spiritual advancement of believers. Now this implies then that pastors and teachers of the Word of God should endeavor to teach the Word of God in a consistent manner so that they will cover God's truth contained in every book of the Bible to enable believers to carry out various instructions of the Lord. Of course, we should be mindful that there is really one fundamental instruction that every believer should carry out, which is witnessing for Christ. That's a fundamental. Every believer has that responsibility. So every believer has the responsibility of telling unbelievers the message of redemption from sin through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we do not need to understand all the doctrines of the scripture to carry out this responsibility. All we should understand to be a witness for Christ is the simple truth that He died for our sins and resurrected the third day. If nothing else, give your testimony. If you can do another thing, tell somebody how, by faith in Christ, you've been changed. Because, you know, before you do that, you have to be really sure that you know what you're talking. Because people can look at you and say, yeah, right. Hey, yes, I hear you. They don't believe a word of what you said. Because what you say, what you do is louder than what you say. I can hear you. So that's what kind of thing that we all have to be careful. Once we're that way, then we can be witnesses. Because a small thing, as I've explained many times, the greatest thing that you have on this planet is your testimony. That's your greatest possession. And if you destroy it, God help you. That's your greatest possession, your testimony. And you should guard it. Because the enemy wants to make all of us liars. So we all have to be very careful to guard our testimony before unbelievers. So if you have a testimony, then if nothing else, you give your testimony. So you don't have to know every detail of scripture. All you have to know how you are saved. If you are saved, you tell it to people. And that will all be part of that witnessing. So again, all I'm saying is just that you need to understand the simple message, Christ died for your sins and resurrected the third day. So anyway, your first responsibility then, regarding the message of this passage, is that you should give no excuses for not carrying out the Lord's instruction. No excuses. Now, this first responsibility that we are considering implies we should avoid the excuse Moses gave to the Lord in response to the Lord's command to him. His excuse is that he is a poor public speaker. That's his excuse. Now, it is this excuse that's given in Exodus 6, verse 30, where we're starting. He said, but Moses said to the Lord, since I speak with faltering lips, why will Pharaoh listen to me? Now, Moses' excuse is primarily given in the sentence, I speak with faltering lips, that literally reads from the Hebrew, look, I am circumcised of lips. I am circumcised of lips. Now, I translate this way because of the Hebrew words used. The word flathrin, or flathrin, of the NIV, is translated from a Hebrew adjective that means having foreskin of the male's genital, that is, uncircumcised. It is in this sense that the word is used to describe those that are not permitted to participate in the celebration of the Passover among the Israelites, as stated in Exodus chapter 12, verse 48. Exodus chapter 12, verse 48. It reads, "An alien living among you who wants to celebrate the Lord's Passover must have all the males in his household circumcised. Then he must take part like one born in the land. No uncircumcised male may eat of it." This word uncircumcised is the same Greek Hebrew word translated faltering. Now it is a word that was used in David's description of Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 26. It reads, "David asked the man standing near him, 'What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?'" So that same Hebrew word that's translated faltrin. Now the word, when used with the heart, may figuratively mean to refer to unrepentant attitude, as that is the sense of the word in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 41. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 41. It reads, "Which man may host out toward them, so that send them into the land of their enemies? Then when their uncircumcised hearts are humbled, and they pray for their sin." Here, it is of course talking in terms of repentance. When the adjective, of course, is also used with the ear, it may mean unreceptive, or unwillingness to repent, as it is used to describe Israel's resistance to God's word in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 10. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 10 reads, "To whom can I speak and give warning? Who will listen to me? Their ears are closed, so they cannot hear. The word of the Lord is offensive to them. They find no pleasure in it." So that sentence, "their ears are closed," is literally, "their ears are uncircumcised." Uncircumcised. Now the adjective is used figuratively though to describe those who are not members of the covenant people of God in Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 7. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 11. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 7. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 7. Verse 7 reads, "In addition to all your other detestable practices, you brought foreigners uncircumcised in heart and flesh into my sanctuary, desecrating my temple while you offered me food, fat and blood, and you broke my covenant." So figuratively, the Hebrew adjective then is used in relation to fruit of trees in the land of Canaan, with the meaning forbidden. Same Hebrew word is translated forbidden in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. It reads, "When you enter the land and plant any kind of fruit tree, regard its fruit as forbidden. For 3 years you are to consider it forbidden. It must not be eaten." Now the instruction, "regard its fruit as forbidden," is literally, "reckon as uncircumcised its fruit." Now the Hebrew adjective may mean, of course, unskilled and inept. Unskilled and inept in speech, in particularly when it is used with a Hebrew word used in our passage of Exodus 6 verse 30 that means lip or speech. So anyway, when Moses stated, "I am uncircumcised of lips," literally, of course, or in the words of the NIV, "I speak with faltering lips," he meant not only that he was not a good or skilled communicator, but he humbly felt that he was not equipped to carry out God's instruction to Pharaoh. Now, his excuse is the same excuse he gave when the Lord first commissioned him in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. Same excuse. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, when it says, Moses said to the Lord, "O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." Because he repeated the same thing when you get to the 6th chapter, the 7th, 6th chapter, verse 12. So the point is that Moses' excuse involves not only that he is not a good communicator, but that he is not equipped to carry out God's instruction. See, we may give excuses as to the reason not to carry out God's instructions. We may say, "It is difficult to do what God commanded us." We may say that our culture makes it difficult for us to obey God's instruction. We may say that the reason we do not, for example, witness, is that we are timid. We may say that we are not able to spend time in the Word of God because we have a busy life. In fact, there are many excuses we can give. But in the end, we have no leg to stand as why we will not obey God's word or carry out a specific instruction from the word of God. Because when you put things in the proper perspective, you find there is nothing else in this life that's more important than your relationship with the Lord. Nothing else lasts longer. Nothing else will be of eternal consequence. And therefore, any excuse that we have is none. Because we have the Word, we have the Holy Spirit. So what excuse do we have? Now Moses was concerned about the outcome of his deliverance of the message of the Lord to Pharaoh. Now this concern is implied in the question then of what we're studying in Exodus 6:30. So why will Pharaoh listen to me? Now this question implies Moses tied Pharaoh's response to the effectiveness of his communication. That was a bad assumption. Many of us believers make the same assumption that Moses did. That it is how well we can communicate that will move unbelievers to respond to the message of the gospel of Christ when we communicate to them. No. We should recognize that the effectiveness of our message depends on the power of the Holy Spirit and the content of the truth we deliver. We should remember that. It is the power of the Holy Spirit and the content of the message. Now we should take to heart then the comforting words of the Lord to Zerubbabel that assured him that he will accomplish the Lord's plan, not by his own power, but by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, as implied in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Zechariah Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. This is a promise you can rely upon. Claim it when you want to witness all other things so that you can recognize what he just said here. See? So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. So it is important to recognize that we should not depend on our ability when it comes to the declaration of God's word. Apostle Paul understood this, that he reminded the Corinthians that his message to them did not depend on his eloquence as it depended on God's power, as implied in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. It reads, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. So there is the danger that if you are a good public speaker, that you may rely on your ability to persuade people instead of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But you must resist that. If you're not a good speaker, then you may be forced to recognize that you need to rely on the Lord, similar to what Apostle Paul conveyed to the Corinthians regarding his helplessness that was intended to cause him to rely on the Lord, as we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 reads, Indeed in our hearts we felt the sentence of death, but it happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. So we should be concerned that we understand God's word that we are to convey. That's what we should be concerned, that we understand that. In effect, we should ensure that we have knowledge. As Apostle Paul indicated that although he was not a trained speaker, but that he had knowledge. as in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 6. It is, I may not be a trained speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way. So once you have knowledge, depend on the power of the Holy Spirit, be bold, be a witness for Him. So because the Holy Spirit provides then the necessary power to the believer with knowledge of the truth to carry out God's word, then we do not have any excuse for not conveying God's word to others. Again, we remind you of the first responsibility of this message, which is you should give no excuses for not carrying out the Lord's instruction. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of your word. We pray that God the Holy Spirit will challenge us to the things that we have studied, so that in the end we have no excuses and only rely upon your power and the word that you have given to us to enable us to obey you and carry out your instructions. This is our request in Christ's name. Amen.